on what is Palm Sunday, we're going to speak on a topic that you would expect us to speak on for Palm Sunday. Elders and deacons. So, I'm serious. I'm not kidding. So, 2 weeks ago, we started with elders. And the plan was, and David asked me when I came in, if we would delay it. And I said, no, we want to do this. And then next week, obviously, we be Resurrection Sunday. But we spoke on elders. The plan was to speak on deacons last Sunday. And for those who listen out there, you will notice that we didn't have any type of broadcast up. Nothing was there from last week. We are in what's called the New Tornado Alley, and it came right through here, through this area, pretty hard last week. Within the last 2 weeks, we had flooding here in the church and did not have service. So that's why there was nothing last week. So while we're on that subject, we want to continue that and talk about deacons today. Now, one person I do want to acknowledge and give a shout out to is our friend Dion Pulley. And Dion emailed me a couple of days after we spoke about elders, and he gave a very good, very favorable critique of it, and was very complimentary, and I appreciate that, because if there's anybody that I know of in this world who could fulfill the qualifications of deacon, no matter how stringent that is, it would be Dion. So thankful to him, and I know he'll be listening again, and thankful to everybody that listens. Okay, now I just want to review from the elder part, and then we'll get into deacons. We got a lot of people that are here today that weren't here 2 weeks ago. And that's one reason I wanted to do it. While the crowds, obviously around this time, it's warmer, people come back in. So I wanted to do it today. Okay? So I want to review the elders part, and you can go back and listen if you weren't here to that. But there are two offices in the local church, the elders and the deacons. Both are plural. Okay? Elders were called overseers. Okay? And you don't have to turn to these. Those who are here that'll know. I just want to do a quick review. I'll give you the scripture and you can look it up. You don't have to turn right now. Philippians 1:1, Paul and Timothy, Paul addresses he and Timothy that are bond servants of Christ. And he's writing to the church of Philippi, and he says, including the overseers and the deacons. So he made it clear that there were overseers and they were deacons. So elders and deacons. Okay? The King James Version translates the overseer as bishop. The Greek word episkopos literally means above looking or overseeing. And then Titus 1:5, Paul writes, "For the reason I left you in Crete, that you would set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I directed you." So Paul set up churches in cities. So when he says set them up in every city, he's talking about the church that they built in that city that makes sure that you appoint elders. Okay? Now, so we ask, are elders and deacons the same thing? Or do we have both? Do we have neither? Do we have one? What do we have? Okay? So elders, there is a difference. Elders provide spiritual oversight, make decisions for the church, and teach and or preach. So the elders are making the spiritual decisions for the church. Now you'll see deacons are not that, and we'll get into that. Okay? Acts 20:28, if you want to write that down. Paul says, "The Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church." You think about shepherd. You have the flock, right? You're looking out for their well-being. Any enemy that comes in, anything that would devour them, you make sure they have food. You make sure they have water. So all those spiritual needs, the elders taking care of. Titus 1:9 says that the elder would hold him firmly the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able to both exhort in sound doctrine. So the elder is able to teach sound doctrine, but is also able to refute those who contradict it. So anybody who comes in who does not in the church, who wants to preach, who wants to teach, who gets people to follow them in there that's not under sound doctrine, the elders call that out. So the elders have to know the word. They have to be able to spot that. I'll give you an example. Paul in Galatians, he says, "You foolish Galatians." You know, people had come in and said, "It takes works. You've got to be circumcised. You've got to follow the law." They came into the church. That's what this would be. And Paul was able to call that out. So you have to be strong in the word. Now the qualifications. Like I said, I'm going quickly through elders and I'll get to deacons. Mature, blameless character and behavior, and able to teach. So in 1 Timothy, there were three places we went. 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7. And you've got to remember, Paul's basically, he knows he's at the end of the road in 1 and 2 Timothy. So he's talking to Timothy here and passing along how you need to be able to carry on this ministry. What you're to do in the ministry, what you're supposed to do in the church. So he says that as we get down into verse 2, that an overseer, deacon, must, or a deacon, an elder rather, not a deacon, an elder, must be above reproach, husband of one wife, temperate, self-controlled, so not a hot-headed temper, respectable, hospitable, skillful in teaching, not overindulging in wine, not a bully, gentle, not contentious, so you're not always looking for a fight. You're not a bully. What a lot of this has to do well is when you're an elder or deacon, you have to deal with people. Okay? How well do you deal with people? How well do you keep your own self in check if you're an overseer of other people? Is it do as I do or do as I say? Which one is that? So the it's got to be a do as I do if you're an elder. Okay? You're in power. I'll hear Missy say sometimes, they'll say, "Man, that person loves their power, don't they?" And they people do. They get into those positions and all of a sudden they use it to dominate others. That's not what an elder does. Okay? Free from the love of money. Okay, that doesn't need to be the thing. You can have the wrong ideas if you do that. And if you're an elder, even with a deacon's going to be like that, you probably have some situations in the church where you're going to be around some money, some offerings, things that's taken in. It's got to be somebody trustworthy with that. You see people all the time. I went to a church as in the early 20s, and I forget how many warrants they took out against the church treasurer. He had taken tens of thousands of dollars from that church. So, because he was able to do that. He was the one deposited in the bank. So it has to be somebody that's trustworthy. He has to manage his own household well, keeping his children under control with dignity. So it says if he can't manage his own household, how can he take care of the church of God? And it can't be a new convert. Okay, so it needs to be somebody established, somebody mature, somebody that's been a Christian for years, because you're exercising spiritual authority. All right, I'll say this later. Titus 1, 5 through 9 is another one, and it's basically verbatim of what we saw in 1 Timothy. It said, after he said, "You appoint elders in every city," so that's what we read a while ago, Paul says, the husband of one wife. Now, I want to say one thing about the husband of one wife. We said this too. I think a lot of times people who are divorced, the church has had a habit of just pushing them to the side when they have so much to offer. You've got to look at the context here and at the time. These people were Gentiles. They were in abject paganism. It was nothing for them to have more than one wife. Okay? You're looking at people that had multiple wives. So that was taken into account too. So he was saying, hey, if you come in and you are converted and you become a believer and you've got eight wives, we're going to have to do something here. Okay? So that, and you cannot be an elder with that, because that was all over the place at that time. Okay? You have children who believed. You're not accused of indecent behavior or rebellion. For the overseer must be beyond reproach as God's steward. What's the steward do? The responsibility is given to him, and he has to be responsible with responsibility. Okay? Not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not overindulging in wine, not a bully, not greedy for money, hospitable. Same thing he said over in Timothy. Loving what is good, self-controlled, righteous, holy, disciplined, holding firmly the faithful word which is according with the teaching, so that he can exhort in sound doctrine and refute those who contradict it. Okay? So he's got all those things coming in that they must have. Now, we don't really teach here that a works-based salvation. Now, you're saved to works, but it's not works-based. But it's clearly saying, once you come into the church as, and you have a position of spiritual authority, this is not for everybody. Okay? It narrows it down substantially, that you have to have Christian maturity and have to have all, a lot of things in your life in check to be able to do this. This is why it says, you must be not a newcomer, not a new convert to the religion, because we grow in the faith. Hopefully, individuals who have been in the faith for 30 or 40 years are more spiritually mature than they were after they had been saved for a year. Okay, that just goes to say. All right, now, one more. 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4. It said, therefore, I urge elders among you, as your fellow elder, so Peter was an elder too, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and one who is a fellow partaker of the glory that is to be revealed, shepherd of the flock, and this is 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4, so you can write that down. I'm sorry, I'm going fast. I want to get, like I said, review and get to the deacons. Shepherd of the flock, so he uses the same terminology Paul uses, exercising oversight, overseer, not under compulsion, but voluntarily. They didn't take the job because somebody made them do it. They want to do it. Paul said if somebody seeks to be an elder, it's a good thing. So they want to do it according to the will of God. So when I do it voluntarily, I'm not doing it just because it just hit me one day. Hey, I think I want to do that. It's got to be under God's will, right? And under his lead. Not with greed, but with eagerness. So not greedy, as Paul said. And not as domineering over those assigned to your care, but by proving to be examples of the flock. So you lead by example. You're not over domineering. It's not a bully pulpit. Okay? And the appointment in 1 Timothy 3 through 3:10. That's another one to write down. 1 Timothy 3:10. These men must first be tested, then have them serve as deacons if they are beyond reproach. I said this 2 weeks ago. I went and visited a guy, and he was formerly in the Church of Christ. And I asked him about that. How do they set up their deacons, elders? What did they do? And he said what they did was those who were younger, who had not been in the church as long, were chosen to be deacons. And then if they proved themselves to do that, then they served as deacons, and then the elders, years later, if that position came open, they could become an elder, possibly, if they were voted into that or selected into it. But the elders were older individuals who had been in that church for years and were spiritually strong, whereas the deacons were younger. Okay? Now, let's get to deacons. Turn to Acts chapter 6. So we've gone through elders. Just a quick review, the cliff notes. They'll be for sale in the Wayne County Bible Center bookshop outside for a small donation. What we did, we took Ken's notes that he writes and we Xeroxed them. So, no refunds. Okay. So, Acts 6, 1 through 4. The duties of an elder. Okay? So, or duties of a deacon, rather. Try to keep this clear. Yeah. So, the duties of a deacon, they are different than the deacons, than the duties of an elder. Remember, the elder is spiritual oversight. A deacon assists the elders. They care for the church's temporal needs, and they serve those in need. Okay? So deacons, instead of the spiritual help, they're offering the day-to-day help that people in the church need. Okay? So Acts 6, 1 through 4. So this is one of the first times that deacons are mentioned in the Bible. Maybe the first. Now, at this time, as the disciples were increasing in number, so when we're talking about disciples, we're talking about believers, converts. A complaint developed on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews. So the Hellenistic Jews, those who had gone out to other countries, lived in other places, okay, against the native Hebrews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. Okay, so the church here, they are to help those, the widows, who so they don't go hungry. They're distributing food unto them. Now, at this time, that's what the apostles are doing, okay? The twelve apostles summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, "It's not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables." Now I'm going to get into this. This was a further on here. They had a lot on their plate. Number one, of all the converts that were coming in and all the goods that they had to distribute. They had a lot of responsibility, so much here that they couldn't teach and preach. Okay? This was a large group. This was not Paul out on the mountainside winning little congregations. This was a large group in Jerusalem. Okay? It's not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. So remember, Paul says, "I'm an elder. I've got to teach," right? That's what he said in 1 Peter. All right? "Instead, brothers and sisters, select from among you seven men of good reputation." Now, seven. Some have seven here in Wayne County. I've spoken to several pastors. Some have four or five, whatever. They needed seven. They probably needed more than that because there was so much responsibility here to do. Okay? Good reputation. So they had to have good reputation. Okay? Full of the Spirit and wisdom. So obviously believers. Okay? Who were spiritually, had some spiritual maturity about them. Had spiritual wisdom about them because they're going to have to make some decisions here. Okay? Whom we may put in charge of this task. "But we ourselves," this is Peter, "we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." So the elders were about the ministry. The deacons were about the daily, the day-to-day work that had to be done with the congregation inside the church, okay? Now, like I said, the church of Jerusalem had a lot of members. Go down to verse 7. "The word of God kept spreading, and the numbers of the disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem." So, it's every day people are joining, okay? "And a great member, many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith." So Jewish priests, and we talk about in here the Pharisees later on who believed in Galatians. Okay? Now, go to Acts 2. Go back to Acts 2. So backtrack four chapters. The day of Pentecost. Okay? We know about Pentecost. All right, that was when Peter got up and spoke. It was a Jewish festival, Jewish holiday, okay? Speaking to Israel, speaking to Jewish individuals, Jewish men. Clearly says that as we start out Acts 2. We know that's when the Holy Ghost descended. They spoke in other tongues. We know that story. But verse 41 through 47. Acts 2, 41 through 47. Okay. So then, now you got to remember, this is before they chose the deacons. So then those who had received his word were baptized. And that day there were added 3,000. Now a lot of them went back to other places. But there were had to be at least several hundred men. Just men alone, not even counting their families, go into this assembly. Okay, 3,000 souls. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Verse 43. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. Now get this. Here we go. And all the believers were together and had all things in common, and they would sell their property and possessions and share them with all to the extent that anyone that had need. So, do you remember when the rich young ruler went to Jesus and he said, I kept the commandment since my birth. I want to follow you. Jesus said, you've not kept all the commandments. You give what you have, you go sell it, and you give it to the poor. He knew he loved his money. He was rich. Okay? But he wouldn't do it. It says he left sorrowfully because he wasn't willing to do that. Okay? This is the gospel of the kingdom. And at that time, these believers were fulfilling that. Okay? They were not getting converted on Saturday and then going down Monday back to their job or whatever. They were given, they would sell their houses immediately, whatever they had. And it says they would go in and lay it down to the apostles' feet. Now you've got thousands of people coming into your church, hundreds and thousands, and they're selling everything they've got. And you've got all this in a kitty. And you've got to distribute this. Okay? Totally different than what we have in the Grace Age Church. All right? Now, I've said this. If you look at Paul, Paul worked. Paul was a tent maker. We all know what he did. Paul worked. People in his churches worked. At this time, going into this church here, this assembly, they were selling whatever they were going, they had, and they were waiting on Israel to accept the Messiah. And guess what? Jesus is going to come back as Lord, as King, and rule. That's what they were waiting on. It didn't happen. And we know that when persecution came upon them and they fled, the Jerusalem church basically went broke. Okay? But at this time, they got all this, all right? I said this. My mom had a unique talent. It had to be God-given, Ken. She could whip and quote scripture at the same time, and her mouth worked in perfect concert with her right arm. Perfect. There was spare the rod and spoil the child. Boy, she was good at it. She loved doing it. But there was one other that she did, okay, and it was, if a man don't work, he don't eat. I was 7 or 8 years old. I didn't know what that had to do with me, but she felt like saying it. Maybe she wanted me to go out and get a job. I don't know. But that was a good one, and I knew that one from I remember when I was a kid, John Hagee was on. They loved John Hagee. And he was on, and he used that verse, and she was cooking in the kitchen, and she went and stuck her head out in the den, told me and Daddy, now that's preaching. So she loved it. Paul worked. You see here, they're just disciples did the same thing. They're laying everything down. People are not working. They're basically living in the commune here. So the disciples have a lot that they've got to do. Okay? They were taking their meals together day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple, verse 46, breaking bread from house to house. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. So they're having a huge revival, and they've got people coming in every day bringing everything they've got. Acts 5:14, and you don't have to turn to that, said increasingly believers in the Lord, large numbers of men and women were being added to their number. That's Acts 5:14. So they had a growing church, not only in manpower numbers, but in capital. Okay? Now, go to Acts 4. I want to show you why deacons were so important and where they first came in, and why they had to have them. And see, it's continued, even though there's a difference in the Grace Age church under Paul a little bit, what they were doing here. It still set the structure, okay? And the congregation, now this is verse 32 through 37, Acts 4, 32 through 37, I'm sorry. And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Same thing we just read. And not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. They're basically in a commune, a lot of them. What's mine's mine, what's mine's yours, what's yours, what's yours is mine. Okay? It was they were selling everything they had, bringing it to the church. Okay? And with great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all. For there was not one needy person among them, for they were all owners of land or houses, would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each to the extent to which they had any need. There's no need, okay? They're selling their land, they're selling everything they have, and it's distributed. Okay? They were all in one accord, one mind. Nobody's got any need. Now, that took a lot of work. The wisdom, the ability, there's no way you could hold a full-time job and do all that. Okay? You had it. It was just constant. And the apostles then in Acts 6 say, it's taking so much time, we can't preach, because we spend all our time doing this. Okay? Now, look at verse 36. Now Joseph, a Levite of Cyprian birth, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles, which translated means son of encouragement, owned a tract of land, so he sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. And I've heard teachings here that where he lived, this was oceanfront property. It wasn't in Arizona. I mean, it was prime property that he sold, and he got a lot out of that. He was used as an example here. Okay? So you see what's going on in this church. So that's the way they were. It took a lot of manpower and work to distribute. But that's the way the church in the kingdom gospel was meant to be. Okay, now look at Paul. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. First Timothy chapter 3, 8 through 13. He gives, now Paul gives the qualifications for deacon. They're not going to be as great or as many. It's still pretty stout, but it's not going to be to the degree of the elders. Remember what it says. They have to prove themselves as deacons over time to move into the spiritual authority of the elders. Okay? So 1 Timothy 3, 8 through 13. He's already spoken about deacons in 1 through 7. Now, he's spoken about elders 1 through 7. Now, deacons, verse 8. Deacons likewise must be men of dignity, not insincere. So the sincerity's got to be there. They're not a hypocrite. Okay? Not prone to drink much wine. Now, you've got to understand at that time, in Israel, the way it was, everything was based around that as far as what they drank. My dad was a teetotaler to the nth degree. And he would tell you in no uncertain terms that Jesus didn't drink wine. He drank Welch's grape juice straight off the shelf. Okay? That's not the case. Okay? It tells you, these believers, to be able to do this as a deacon, they drank wine. That's what they had at that time, okay? But they didn't go to an extreme in it. They weren't greedy for money, same thing as elder. Deacons, if Ken's got a problem and I'm a deacon and I'm taking something to him, a greedy person doesn't need to do that, okay? Take Ananias and Sapphira. If you remember them, what they did and what we would look at probably wasn't that great. They sold their land. They didn't take all of it to the church. Now, they acted like they did, but they kept part of it. But they still gave a ton. They gave more than 10%. Okay? And what happened? They were struck dead because of it. So that was to the degree of seriousness in that church. But thank goodness that's not the Grace Age Church. But either way, you can't be greedy. But holding to the mystery of faith with a clear conscience. So the mysteries that we've spoken about that are so important to us as Grace Age believers, the things that we've gone through, how Jesus died on the cross, was risen from the grave, died for our sins, rose. Those things are non-negotiable. So the mystery of the faith, the things we believe in are so important in the Grace Age. We have to hold to that if we're a deacon with clear conscience. We can't have a deacon come in and he's well, I don't know if Jesus died or not. Maybe he did, and I don't know if he rose from a dead. No, there's nothing there whatsoever that would allow that person to be a deacon. Okay? These men must first be tested, okay, and then have them serve as deacons if they are beyond reproach. So, where it's already established, they had to be tested before they became deacons. If we did something like that here, I believe we've had people in this church long enough. Now, this is just my opinion. We've had people in this church long enough that we know would serve well in that position, okay, that have proven themselves over the years, all right? Women must be dignified. Women or wives, whichever one your version says, must be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. So pretty much the same thing that you'd have with men. And we all know, if you watched Andy Griffith, there was as much gossip came out of the barbershop as there was from the women together, right? So I think this is for everybody, men or women. Okay, you don't cut down others if you're in this position. Okay? Look at, verse 12. Okay? Deacons must be husbands of one wife. So that's the same thing we said as the elders. Okay? And like I said, remember of the environment that they're in. Okay? And good managers of their children and their own households. All right? So it goes back to the elders. How can you help manage the church if you can't take care of your own household? Now let me say this. It's up to each individual to make their decision what they're going to do with Jesus. Okay? I know plenty, and I feel so sorry of them, plenty of just the best God-fearing Christian people you've ever seen, and their kids grow up and go their own way. We've all seen that. And it's not the parents' fault. But the parents, while they are under that roof, okay, their children, okay, are going to act the right way. And are going to go to church with them. They're going to do those things. They're going to be brought up in the Lord. It's up to their decision, like I said, of what they do with it. Okay? So that's the big thing there. So you've got to be careful how you look at that. People want to take a look at somebody's kid when they're 30, 40 years old and they've gone down the wrong track, or they're not living the way they should be living, and point a finger at that parent. And that shouldn't be the way it is. Okay, we don't know why that some follow and some don't. The Lord knows. I don't claim to know. Okay, for those who have served, verse 13, as well as deacons, obtain for themselves a high standing and great confidence in the faith that is Jesus Christ. So they've served well, and they've clearly kept that faith, all right? So deacons don't have as much or not as many qualifications. They have a great responsibility. But I want you to see there's a difference. Elders are going to take care of the spiritual needs. Deacons are going to take care of the physical needs, okay? Now, right quickly, I want to read this off. I had a good... And I can get, for anybody that wants this, I can print it off. I found a very good, like, PDF file sheet of some fill-in-the-blanks here of six questions that it had. And I'm filling in the blanks. So six things that are very important. There are two clearly defined offices in the church. One, the overseer, two, the deacon. Number two. Overseers are called elders and pastor. Elders by far the most common term in the New Testament. One thing about elder, like I said, you can discipline yourself and live a life that wants you to live as elders, but not everybody can teach, and we understand that. A deacon is not asked to teach, okay? That's why the deacon could probably have more people fit into that role than the elder. Number three. A person must be tested by the God-given qualifications before being appointed to that office. Number four, both elders and deacons must have blameless character and behavior in every area of life. And I've got the verses to back up this if you need it. Like I said, I can get copies for anybody that wants it. Number five. What distinguishes elders is that they must be able to teach or skillful in teaching. Elders are the church's teaching officers. Number, I said we had six, we got seven. Number six, deacons assist the elders with the church's temporal needs so that the elders can more fully devote their time to prayer and teaching. And number seven, a local church is to be led by a plurality, think team, of qualified elders and deacons according to Paul. Okay? So those are several things. I know this is not an evangelical message that would make people want to come to the altar, but it's something that we've had to, you know, we said we had to address. I'll go back to what I said 2 weeks ago. The original plan was to do this in October. Of course, Leo passed away in August. Give it a few weeks and months. And the original plan was for Benford, who could have done this so much better, to teach this, okay? But on the day that we were in October, that we were packing up out here things to go to the flood victims in East Tennessee, Western North Carolina, Benford had come out of Bible study up at Charlie's, and he pulled over up here and asked if I would speak to him for just a second. We went over here to the side of the building, and he said, "It's just not time yet. They're still too raw, too much emotions with Leo's passing. I just don't feel like the time's right. And then obviously he's had some health issues since then. We can't wait till he gets back. We love him. But we felt like now was the time, the Lord said, now was the time to go ahead with that. Okay? So I'm sure now that this is over, we brought this up, there'll come a time where we have to make some decisions here as a church. Okay, what are we going to do with this? And how are we going to go about it? So I would say this. Be in prayer about that. Let's not just go over this. And I'm not trying to persuade you in one way to the other. I just wanted to teach you, okay? But we need to be in prayer about that and not just forget it and then look up and a year later, we at least we address it. We've not addressed it, okay? So be in prayer about that of how, and I love how Charlie says it when we spoke about it several months ago, I guess back in January, that we are, as a church, we are structured biblically, is the word he told me. And I think that's a wonderful way to put it. So be in prayer about that and keep these in your thoughts. Okay, and that as a church that we would follow the Lord's lead here and then we would take the appropriate actions on what we need to do, okay? Because it's we don't need to know, it's not like we're in the dark on what it is that's there, okay? It's made clear about elders and deacons, okay? Now, I want to say one thing that I said 2 weeks ago. When I read about the elders, it was a wonderful, wonderful testimony that I need to grow from on how to live. I just don't need to read this and say, well, you know, I can't be a deacon or elder because that's not me. Okay, I've got this or I've got that. We all have things that we need to crucify and we need to take care of. We all do. We've all got shortcomings. I'm the worst. Okay? But it just doesn't need to be, well, it's there. That's the way it is. I'm just going to go on with it. We need to live our lives so that we can serve God. We don't need to have things in our lives where we can't serve Him. It's important that we're able to witness and the church was able to grow and we don't do things that stunt that. And I'm not talking about things that would cause some type of big scandal. I'm just talking about things that we need to take care of in our lives. But that some people may see as minor. But we know it impacts the way we live as Christians and the testimony that we have. That's what we all want to do. It's spiritual growth and maturity. That's what it is. Okay? So go back in what I had in the review about the elders, the verses that I gave you about the qualifications for elders, and look at that and use that as an opportunity to grow and say, Lord, what's here that needs to go? What's in my life here that I can't serve you as effectively as I could because this is in my life. Lord, help me take care of this. And I pray that you would take care of it through your Holy Spirit. Okay? Like I said, I need that more than anybody. So I'm not preaching to anybody here. I'm talking to David Sisk. Okay? Martha Jo? That would be my